Welcome one and all to episode 198 of the Original Draft Breakdown Podcast. I'm your host, Seth Cox. With me tonight, my co-host, Justin Higdon. And Justin, we made it. We did it. We got two shows in.
We got two shows in a week for the first time in like a month and a half. Yeah. If you missed the first one this week, it was episode 197. It's up on iTunes, Spotify, and all that. And we talked to our friend Sully. We did O-line talk. It was, unfortunately, we didn't get to all our personal rankings this year, but we did talk with Sully about O-line, and everybody loves that show. So check that out if you haven't. I'm still going to try and get my rankings up on the Patreon site, the Original Draft Breakdown Podcast on Patreon. Those will be available for public view. Right now, we're not charging anybody anything because we've been so inconsistent. Part-time draft next this year, right?
Yeah, and I'll have mine, as I always do, up on Revenge of the Birds. It'll be more Arizona Cardinals focused, so no quarterbacks. You know, maybe some guys missing that people will be like, where's this guy at? Unfortunately, due to life, I just don't have time to care about other players and teams and the NFL in general.
But if you want the more extensive, not team based, I'll have about 150 some players. But again, some you might say, why isn't this guy on here? I'll do my best to explain that. But so check that out this week. And but till then, I think we got our last show before every draft is our mock draft, right? And Seth and I take turns making the picks. We don't know who. We mostly take turns, although we'll talk about one where I got overruled. We'll just go ahead and jump right in, right?
Yeah. So it starts out. It's the Chicago Bears. It's probably the worst kept secret after they decided they were trading Justin Fields and moving on. And I want to ask you this because, you know, obviously the pick's Caleb Williams, right? But why was there never a debate? Like, this seems like it's been locked in basically since they got the first overall pick from the Panthers, right?
It sure seems that way. And I don't know why there was never a debate, but it doesn't seem like there was ever a debate anywhere about the top quarterback. You only have a few draft nicks. I think notably Nate Tice. Is he with the Athletic?
Yeah.
Okay, Nate Tice, you know, son of former NFL coach Mike Tice, a former college quarterback. He's one of the few people out there that has Drake May over Caleb Williams. And there's a couple others I have seen, but he's probably the most notable. But it doesn't seem like there was a debate ever anywhere about who's quarterback one, except in small circles of the draftnik world. So Chicago seems to be all in. The organization does. I can't say the fan base really is all in because it was pretty divided. There were a lot of people that wanted to stick with Fields and kind of keep going down that road and building around him and getting more O-line, more defense, trading this pick. But that just never seemed to be a realistic thing for the Bears. So, yeah, Caleb Williams was the pick. And then it went to you for the Commanders. And is this where things get surprising or no?
I don't think so. I mean, we go number two, and I had the even picks. You had the odd picks. And we went with, or I went with Jaden Daniels. It just seems like, despite the top golf outing from hell, I guess it was a bad first date or whatnot, that's what they want to do.
It's because it was a group date, like The Bachelor.
Yeah. And Jaden wanted to be wooed on his own. You know, it's one of those things, man. I don't know. I still think May should be the pick. But if you read Bob McGinn's stuff, if you look at a lot of the, like, anonymous quotes, which are always fun because, you know, they don't have to put their name on anything. They can just say any of the bull that they want to, and then when they're wrong, they don't care, and there's nothing to be accountable to. I guess that's what happens when you make $12,000 a year, right? As a scout, you get to, that's your one thing, is you can be anonymous and just spout off whenever you want.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, I used to love reading the McGinn stuff like everyone else, you know, and going through those quotes. But every year there are guys that just get ripped in those scout quotes that end up still being drafted very high and being very good players. So I just don't know what the value is other than just pure entertainment, gossip column type of stuff.
That's what it is. Like I said, I think it's just a lot of guys, you know, that unfortunately they're in a business where success for most of them is waiting out their opportunity, right? To get one of those front office jobs, and then they're, you know, in for good because, you know, that life is so incestuous and doesn't really change hands very much, right? They go from one organization to the next as a mid-level executive. And so, you know, it does come across a lot of times as bitter or gossip or, you know, nothing. I mean, we were joking yesterday in our group chat about the conversation about J.J. McCarthy. And again, our buddy Kyle Posey said, everything they're talking about, nothing has to do with football. Like
all the good things.
Good handshake.
If you guys follow me on X, I'm at AFC number 2 NFC, and you can see the banner is a scouting report I took from one of Football Game Plan, one of Emery Hunt's videos, and it's a fake quarterback prospect, and all the traits are grit. You know, looks you in the eye, strong handshake, son of a father with grit. Like those are the McCarthy scouting reports. I mean, there's like a guy like that every year that gets that kind of scouting report. So it's interesting. I guess we'll get back to JJ here in a few. At pick number 3, I had the Patriots. There's a lot of noise now that they are wanting to trade back. There's noise that their GM, Elliott Wolf, wants a certain player, but they're the son of Robert Kraft wants a different player, and he's really going to be the shot caller. So things kind of seem disjointed in New England with Bill Belichick gone. Ultimately, I didn't have them trading this pick, although maybe they will. But I just had them sitting there and taking May because they need a quarterback. And Seth's on mute, so it's a little early in the day. But if you want to take a drink, go ahead.
Yes. All right. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I'm with you. The interesting part of this is the whole, you know, Crafts are trying to take their team back, right? Like, oh, sorry, we just won 6 Super Bowls.
That mean old Belichick won us 6 rings. Now it's time to take the team back. Like, Jerry Jones style, right?
Yeah, this is just such a old man thing to do, right? Like, oh, give me back my team, you bullies. How dare you make us one of the most successful franchises ever and do it in a 20-year span.
Finally freed from the grasp of Belichick and Brady to go ahead and pave your own way, right?
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, we'll talk about the Cardinals pick in a second, but, like, I love this idea that if you just trade back that you're going to get 2 great players or 3 great players with those picks. Like, that's always what happens, right?
Right.
And it's just such a weird thing to me that's how everybody, it's a universally looked at. It's like, you look at last year, even, like, you and I love Paris Johnson Jr., great player, but you can't overlook the fact that Will Anderson in year one looks like he's going to be one of the best defensive pass rushers in the NFL. Right. And Paris Johnson Jr. is going to make another transition back to left tackle, have to, you know, earn it. And then the Cardinals ended up getting the frickin' 27th pick in the draft.
Right.
Instead of a top 10 pick. Like, it's not a lockdown, like, oh, you're going to get what you know, 2 great things. And so if you have a chance to draft a player with the caliber of May, especially. And I know it's, like, super early, and guys always end up, like, Jaden Daniels end up, you know, showing up later in the year. But it doesn't look like the next quarterback is really until Arch Manning comes out in 26, right? Like, the 25 quarterback class
the 25 class on paper doesn't look great. We'll see how that shakes out. You touched on the Cardinals pick. Tell us who you took.
Yeah, I went with Marvin Harrison Jr.
So to go back to your point about trading back, okay, so Marvin Harrison Jr., first non-quarterback picked here. By most accounts, many people still believe he's the best player in this draft, non-quarterback. So I just saw an X on Twitter, Josh Norris from Underdog. He was talking about this is where the Cardinals could move back to six if they want to. Like, that would be an easier, and that's if the Giants are coming up to get a QB here. And then they still have a chance at Marvin Jr. if the Chargers pass on him, right? But I see where Vikings fans, they don't want to hear that because they want to trade up from 11 to 4 to get J.J. McCarthy. But then you have the Cardinals, back to your point, Seth, the Cardinals are then moving back to 11 and 23. Okay, and then what I've seen some Vikings fans say, well, then the Cardinals can move back up to get Romo Dunze. Well, how easy do people think this all is? I don't think it's as easy as just, it's not like the PFF simulator,
just,
right?
Yeah, you just put the simulator and it works. It's no big deal. It's not an issue at all.
So, I mean, here I think you did the sober thing for a change and took the best player on the board, right? Why would you trade back if you're Eric? I know Monty, your new GM, he likes to wheel and deal. He's been on the phone for 6 months, apparently. But is he really going to mess this up? Is he going to, I mean, say you move back, and I'm not saying that if you move back to 11 and 23, maybe there's a chance you could still get Odunze or Neighbors. We've heard Neighbors has, you know, a shoulder issue or some teams are worried about some off the field stuff or whatever. Maybe you can, but you're going to have Marvin Harrison Jr. staring you in the face at four, probably.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, and I saw, you know, and you know, obviously you're not a Cardinals fan, but I saw a scenario by a local Arizona guy yesterday where he's like, Cardinals trade back, get 11 and 23, and take Jared Verson and Brian Thomas Jr.
Okay. I mean, it's two good players, but...
But you also probably don't remember this, but like in like 2004 or something of that nature, I can't even remember, the Cardinals traded back from taking Terrell Suggs and ended up taking Calvin Pace and Bryant Johnson. Yeah. And I was like, oh, we're just going to do the same thing again, right? We're just going to take a edge player that's, you know, a borderline first-round player that's probably going to be a good like 7 to 8 sack a year type of guy, but he's not going to be a dominant player and wide receiver 5 or 6 on the board. You're just
increasing your bust potential, and I like Brian Thomas, but
yeah, I mean, but that's why bad teams stay bad.
And you could get lucky like the Bears and end up with the number one pick 2 years in a row because Carolina just completely stunk it up after that trade last year. But more likely end up like the scenario you just described where you're giving up, you're passing on a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer and you're getting two guys who might make a couple of Pro Bowls between them. You know? Yeah. Fifth pick.
Fifth overall. And I like what you did, but I'm interested to hear what other people think. Not that anybody's going to respond to this.
Leave your comments on Twitter at @scoxfb. The Chargers, I haven't taken Joe Alt. I think Harbaugh's all in on O-line. And you got Herbert, you know. They could use a receiver here. And you still have Neighbors on Odunze on the board. But I took Alt. I think he's the best offensive lineman in the class. Sully talked about Alt the other day. So again, go back and listen to that. But I think Alt's the best prospect from an O-line standpoint. He's got the youth. He's got the size. I know that the arm length is not really proportionate to the size, but it's to his height, but it is still, they still qualify as long arms, over 34 inches. So you he moves extremely well. I think Alt's good left tackle or a good offensive line pick here for the LA Chargers.
That takes us to six in the New York Giants. And I think that they go on here and they look at this, and it's a tough one for them. Do they take J.J. McCarthy, or do they get, you know, the next guy in the draft? You know, somebody you and I have talked about as being probably wide receiver one in most drafts, and that's Malik Nabers, right?
Yeah, I was surprised you took Nabers here over McCarthy, especially with the talk that they want to trade up. But you're seeing a lot of different things out of Giants Twitter, out of their beat reporters and things like that. There's a lot of talk the Giants might trade back. So I can see why you didn't have them moving up. It's going to – the JJ thing is I think ultimately he's going to go in the top six. But it's going to take one of these teams maybe trading out, trading back. But Nabers, certainly, some people say he's the number one player in the draft. Lance Zierlein's had that take for a while. Many more people are saying he's the number one receiver since the season ended in December, when Marvin Harrison was like universally number one receiver. Now Nabers has taken that in some people's eyes. So this is – what are the Giants going to do at quarterback, though, if they don't try and get J.J. here?
Yeah, and the question becomes, how does this affect, you know, Brian Daboll? Does mm-hmm. he feel the pressure that he has to take a quarterback? And so this whole thing is rendered moot.
Aren't they almost in a Daniel Jones situation again where they have to – where they're not taking the top quarterback? They're just taking the fourth quarterback here?
Right, yeah, and that's where I'm at with that. You had the Titans. I like what you did.
Titans, I went O-line again. Olufoshinu. I think the Titans would be a possibility for Nabers if he slips there. But he doesn't in this scenario, so I take Fashanu, who I think is the second best O-line prospect in this class.
It's interesting because if you don't take him there, if you end up taking a wide receiver or trading and a quarterback comes up, I have heard from people that a team that has not made a first-round pick in, I think, 6 years in the Los Angeles Rams would be interested in getting up into the 8-9 spot to grab a fallen Joe Alt or Olufoshinu. So in that case, you know, you grab Fashanu, that's not a possibility. But and you're in Bears country, obviously, you're in Chicago, like, and we'll talk about their pick in a second, but isn't the lack of picks in this draft, wouldn't it make sense for them if a team like the Rams want to come from 19 to 9 and you can get another, you know, a third round pick this year and a third round pick next year? Doesn't that make a lot of sense for them?
It does, but you touched on it because I think it would have to be for picks next year, because what we're hearing, the chorus really around day three is that teams don't want those picks this year. The day three picks, people aren't into, you know, swapping fourth, fifth through seventh round picks. They don't want those picks this year because they feel like the class is kind of shallow, top heavy, old, all the things we've talked about throughout the year. So I would think if they want some future picks, but now they're going to have a rookie quarterback, they're going to want to build around him. So I do think the Bears like the idea of having two top 10 picks in this class, because they're going to feel like if they keep those picks, they're going to get two good players in a class that might not be real flush with great players after the first round.
So you take Fashanu, that takes the Falcons on, and you mentioned it. I think this is where, if something happens like this, the Minnesota Vikings get aggressive and they go up and they grab J.J. McCarthy at a little bit less of a cost. That probably ends up costing them – or no, sorry, I had the Broncos. Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry. The Broncos going up and grabbing J.J. McCarthy. And we've heard that Sean Payton is wanting to be aggressive. I'll say this. I think that McCarthy going to Payton wouldn't be a bad thing. I don't know how much of a, you know, difference it makes, but the other thing is, for the Broncos, they want to get up there. I've heard that they've even called the Cardinals, but you look at what they have to offer. I mean, anything to get to where the Cardinals are picking would have to include Patrick Surtain, like, because they have no assets.
And why would they? I don't understand why they would trade Surtain.
Well, I mean,
I've heard that raised, but I just don't. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Right, but I mean,
especially when this draft doesn't have cornerbacks like that.
But you know, this coaching staff is desperate.
Mm-hmm. They did just trade for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, but you look at it. Their day one and two offerings for this year are pick 12 and pick 76. That's all they have. So if you're trying to get to four and you're trying to outbid the Vikings, who can offer, you know, two firsts this year, first and a first next year, you got to come up with something, right?
Mm-hmm. And this is a cheaper trade for them to go from 12 to 8. They'd be giving up, they'd have to be a 2025 second rounder probably, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably 12 and a 2025 second.
At least. That's for starters.
Yeah, and then probably they're three this year. So, you know, they get one pick in the top 120 picks, but you get your quarterback, which sometimes can be more valuable than those picks. And then I was actually surprised what you did with the Bears here at 9.
Bears are always looking for pass rushers. And so the question then is, who's your favorite pass rusher? And I think that that's going to vary from team to team. And I have the Bears taking Leiatu Latu from UCLA. I think that the production that he had in college is really important to them. And the testing that he did was probably better than some people expected. So I have him going with Latu. The question about him is medical. Is his neck going to hold up? That was a problem. That's why he went from Washington to UCLA. But they could really go. They could go Dallas Turner here. They could go Jared Verse here. But I went with Latu. That was my feeling, is that his college production, and they like the heavy hands. They like the way he approaches the pass rush. So Latu's a guy that's been connected to Chicago a little bit. But again, it could be any of those three pass rushers. But I think if they stay at 9, that's what they're going to go.
At 10, the Jets sit. They're still loading in on Aaron Rodgers, right? So they got to do all they can. And they take Roma Dunze.
And this is probably who a lot of Bears fans wish I would have taken. But it doesn't matter who I take, because I don't. They'll take whoever on Thursday. So this mock is guaranteed to be wrong, as with every mock draft, right?
Right.
And especially because we went back and forth. So there are guys that Seth is taking ahead of me that I would have taken. So, and that happens more later as we go. But Odunze, certainly, some people are saying he's even wide receiver one. And the Jets at 10, do you think that is a pick for... did you make that pick because you think that's what Aaron Rodgers wants?
Yeah, I think getting, you know, having Garrett Wilson, Roma Dunze, Breece Hall, that really makes them interesting on offense if Aaron Rodgers can stay healthy.
And some people have compared Dunze to Davante Adams.
Right.
So at 11, the Vikings are picking. They weren't able to make a trade in this situation. In this scenario, the Vikings may have... They probably called Arizona, and Arizona said, no thanks. 11 and 23 is too far back. Maybe somehow the Broncos outbid them to move up to 8. So the Vikings are going to have a year of Sam Darnold, but they're going to get a cornerback here, which is something they really need. So I went with Tarion Arnold from Alabama.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the NFL prefers, you know, the blue blood guy or the guy that's been just better in college from a smaller program. But that makes a lot of sense from there.
I'll tell you why I go Arnold over Quinyon Mitchell. Vikings GM, he came from the Cleveland organization. Cleveland, their GM, Andrew Berry, he's always picking 21 and 22-year-old guys in the first two rounds. He's never going to a 23 or 24 year old. Mitchell is going to be 23. That organization also doesn't pick group of five players on day one or day two, or in the first two rounds, typically. So I'm thinking Arnold, younger player, bigger program. That's why the Vikings take that pick.
The Falcons made the trade back, and they get the guy they wanted all along, Dallas Turner. I think that would be their ideal scenario there.
Yeah, it worked out for them because I took Latu at nine over over Turner.
And I think they're of the belief they'll just grab either one. They don't really care.
I could see that too. And if they if they move back, basically you could swap these Bears picks. You could say Turner's nine, and then Latu is 12 to Atlanta. It would work either. I think those two guys are going to go in that top 12 area right after these quarterbacks and a couple linemen and a couple receivers.
Number 13, your Las Vegas Raiders. Well, the somebody's Las Vegas Raiders.
Well, the Raiders need help on O-line. And so I have them taking Troy Fatanu, and that was because of his versatility. Where they, if they need help, they can find a place to play Fatanu. It doesn't have to be, they don't have to put him at left tackle or whatever. He can play guard too. I've even heard people say he could play center. So we'll see where they would put him. But I like the fit. It's a little early for me where I graded Fatanu because he's an older prospect. We talked about how he's had some injury issues, and that's why he didn't play as much the first. You know, he basically only has 2 years as a starter, and when you count up the games, but and that's low for a 24-year-old guy. But he's also from Vegas, so Raiders have a chance to shore up their line and get a guy who's local.
Next on the list is the New Orleans Saints. I think they would want Fatanu. He wasn't there. You heard the Sully show, if you haven't listened to it. From there, it just became about, all right, who's the guy? And I think for me, in my board, I'm taking Taisi Fuaga as the next offensive lineman. With the uncertainty about Ramczyk, right? Did he officially retire yet or no?
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. But I know they need help along the offensive line. They need help at guard. They need help at tackle. Any of those things. So you get a guy in Fuaga who can play pretty much left guard, or right tackle. He's not a left tackle by any means. And he's one of my favorite players in the draft. Like, just a complete ass kicker that's going to wear on people. That's where I'm at with him. So,
and Ramczyk is not retired, but he does have that degenerative condition in his knee, so that is definitely a consideration here.
So he plays left guard or right guard this year, and then, you know, when he's finally done, he moves out. That takes you to the Colts. I was surprised by your pick, but not overly surprised either.
So I know Colts are talking about corners as well. And so this is where I slotted in Quinyon Mitchell.
And I thought you'd go Brock here. So
you thought I'd go with Brock Bowers?
Yeah.
That's like a really popular one. And but I felt like they would want to go with the premium position. And with Chris Ballard, he's a guy who likes to trade back. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts move back, because if they say, oh, you know what, we like Brock Bowers, we like Quinyon Mitchell, we like some of these other guys still on the board, we can move back and still get one of those guys. You know, they're going to do that. But Quinyon's the pick for me here. Probably some of the best on-ball production of the defensive backs in this class. And that's another thing about Terry and Arnold. He was also up there with the on-ball production. So the two, in my view, the two like highest profile, most productive college corners are now off the board after the Colts take Mitchell at 15.
At 16,
this is one we're not seeing in any mocks.
No, this came straight from me ripping off fellow SB Nation writers and field goal or the Field Goals group, the guys that run Field Goals, the Seattle Seahawks blog. This was their pick, and the board was similar in this instance, and they took Jerzon Johnny Newton there. So I just kind of followed suit because I thought it was more interesting than what we're seeing.
This is the best pass rushing defensive interior lineman in this class, in my opinion. And the fact that we're not seeing him in the first round of some of these mocks when he could, I mean, we're looking at there's no way he gets past the Lions, right? Yeah, I mean, at the very lowest at 29. So you got to think some of these guys that you're not seeing in mocks are going to show up on Thursday night.
Right. And I've said all along, I don't see any way he gets past the Cardinals at 27. Like, yes, they address some defensive line stuff, but they don't have anybody with this pass rush ability. Like, it's such a baffling thing to me. So we'll see how it goes and works out there.
Jaguars were next, and they need a corner too, and the top two are gone. So I went with Nate Wiggins, and the concern here would be the issue, I guess, is that I don't really know. He's got really short arms. I don't know how much the Jaguars brass cares about that because he's still a good size guy, like 6 feet tall. He weighed light at the combine, so he could run his 4.2. But this is a guy, he's extremely fast. He's a good cover corner. He can track you down in the open field. And the only question is, is this a fit? Because I don't know how the Jaguars front office is going to look at those short arms. But it didn't affect him negatively from what I could see when he was playing in college. It's not ideal, but now you're getting into the range of first-round picks where you're not getting the ideal guys because they're all gone. So Wiggins was the pick at 17.
And this is where the fall of Brock Bowers, the best player in the draft, to Corey Analytics on the Twits.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
You know, it's he goes to the Cincinnati Bengals. I actually do like this fit. I think it's a very, very good fit and proper, you know, where he should go. It's funny because we talk about Bowers quite a bit, and we both like him a lot. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any, like, negative emotion about him, but we do pick nits of, like, all of these end-around touchdowns are against, like, group of five schools that aren't going to have a player drafted.
It's just not a play that NFL teams are typically going to run. We've seen him do it, and I talked about it on the show that came out Monday or Sunday night. We've seen teams do it, but it doesn't work as well because everybody's faster and everybody's seen more film and all that. So this is a good fit for Bowers because he's going to come to a team where they're you know, Joe Burrow, they like to throw the ball around. He can't throw every ball to Chase. You know, the T. Higgins situation's kind of in flux. And even if Higgins does come back and, you know, there's still some talk he might get traded, but even if he's back, you know, he missed a lot of time with injury. Chase missed some time with injury. There's going to be targets for Bowers, so it's a good fit here. And then we get to the Rams, who you said maybe they want to trade up for a lineman. They don't know what to do. They haven't had a first-round pick in so long. Do they just say, yeah, this is making me uncomfortable, and they trade this pick away? But I have them keeping the pick, and here's where I go with Jared Verse. I think Aaron Donald retired. I know it's a different position, but you're losing some pass rush production. And Verse was a guy who showed that he could come up from Albany, play in the ACC at Florida State, still be productive. He's not my favorite guy. I do think he's a good player. He's going to be 24 next November. He's not super old, but he's on the older side. You know, to me, this is the right range for him, this or a little bit later, but the fit with the Rams, he's going to go and be a great player and make me look stupid for any nits that I picked with him.
That takes us to 20, and again, I struggled with this one. I wanted to go Amarius Mims, but Sully got me terrified of that pick.
But did he get the Steelers terrified of that pick?
Right. And so I went with the other guy that I've just seen over and over here, Graham Barton, the, I guess, center now for, and they need a center. And so it'll be the question of if it's Barton, if it's JPJ, or if they wait and get a Zach Frazier or the kid from Wisconsin that
Bortolini.
Yeah, Bortolini talked about the other day. Like, there's some options, so.
I mean, there's also, you know, a guy like Cooper Beebe. He could probably move into center. Yeah, there's a lot of really good interior linemen that you can get on day two. I think the draw here with Barton is that you do have some positional versatility too, right?
Correct. And so that is a really interesting thing. I mean, he played center like for 5 games as a freshman All-American, and then was at left tackle the rest of his life while he was in college. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. That takes us to the Miami Dolphins, right?
Yeah, and they need defensive line, and they lost Christian Wilkins. And again, this is not the same position necessarily, because people are saying Darius Robinson, who I picked here, is an edge. But I think with Robinson, the question is, yeah, and you don't have a lot of really productive edges running 4.95. So I have him listed as a defensive lineman, but I think that works for what the Dolphins do. And they're going to, this is a guy with a lot of, you know, really long arms, 6'5", 34 and a half inch arms. And when you slot him in to the interior, which he did play a little bit in college, yeah, you know, he played, actually he was interior lineman until his last year, and then they moved him outside and he got some sacks. So I think it's a good fit for Miami. You get a big long guy, and you can put some, you can add some weight to his frame. He was a 285 at the combine. They can get him up to 300. This is a position of need for them, and the Dolphins are pretty good. They have a pretty good roster, so they can draft for need here.
From there, we go to the Eagles, and Sully didn't scare me too much because I just took Amarius Mims there.
You took him 2 picks later.
Yeah, I think, you know, I was thinking a lot of different things, and the biggest thing I was thinking here is that he just, getting into the right system, into a system where he can kind of take his time, right, and things like that, and doesn't have to be expected to be great initially. And they have the best, you know, offensive line coach in the NFL. They have
good veteran leadership in the locker room.
Great group of veterans in there. It feels like if he's going to have success, that's where it's going to be, at a place like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, Eagles, another team, you know, they can bet on upside here, I think, because of the organizational structure. So,
and I'm also looking at Lane Johnson. I mean, he is still one of the best in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But what the Eagles have been able to do for a long time, the last couple of years, especially along the offensive line, is really prepare for when these guys step away. We saw it with Cam Jurgens a couple of years ago, Landon Dickerson. You know, these guys are able to come in a year after they're drafted. And I know fans hate the idea of that, but when you get a guy like Mims, who could potentially take over for a guy that might even be a Hall of Famer in Lane Johnson, you know, it's hard to pass that up, so you can be prepared.
This is another one where if you put Mims at 20 to Pittsburgh, you could see Barton going here to Philly, right?
Right.
Because they need, you know, Kelsey retired. Although I think that they might prefer a shorter center.
Yeah, and I think they like Jurgens.
Oh, that's right. They do have Cam Jurgens.
Yeah, but you look at it, I mean, again, Lane Johnson is now, you know, he's going to be 34 this year. He was a second-team All-Pro and a Pro Bowler last year, and so it's not like it's an immediate need, but he's 34. Like,
yeah.
These guys can only play for so long before it's time to hang it up, and he's literally one of the best ever, so it's not like they need to replace him. It's just a matter of, you know, getting it there. So That you have a trade.
Yeah, so the Vikings are back up on the clock. They're still annoyed that they couldn't get up to get McCarthy. But you know, they're feeling like there's still plenty of players on the board that they like here. So they are going to move back with Buffalo. And with Buffalo moving up, Buffalo is going to take A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver from Texas. And I just like this fit so much. I think A.D. Mitchell, you know, the Bills traded Diggs. A.D. Mitchell can come in and get a lot of targets off the from the jump. You know, I know some people were questioning his hands after the combine, but if you look at his production actually playing football, I think he only dropped one pass this year, according to PFF. So, or if it wasn't PFF, it was one of those other analytics sites. Mitchell, I think, is a good fit with Josh Allen and that speed, that 4.3 speed. And you're going to see yourself in some scramble drill situations. That's going to create some deep passing opportunities. I think the Bills, if they are sitting here and getting to this point, you still got Mitchell still on the board, Brian Thomas still on the board, Xavier Worthy. If they like all those guys equally, maybe they just sit tight at 28. But here I have them being aggressive and moving up to take a guy that they really like.
At 24, again, I don't know a ton about what they're going to do, but I've seen enough conversation that I think the Dallas Cowboys sit and draft Jackson Powers Johnson as their new center.
And many people will think that he's the top center in this draft. And so the Cowboys, you know, they've had success drafting centers toward the end of the first round before. So this pick makes sense to me. I don't know how Cowboy fans would feel about it because I don't know many Cowboy fans in person. But that one didn't surprise me that you picked that one. And then I had the Packers at 25, and they did this a couple of years ago. But I have him going back to the linebacker well and taking Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M. I think he is the best linebacker in the class. I have a day two grade on him, but there have been lesser linebackers drafted in the first round in recent years. So I'm a little bit confused why we're not seeing Edgerrin Cooper in more first round mocks. A lot of mocks are going by without any linebackers in there. But when you're talking about the Packers, and I'm not looking at their whole draft board right now, so I don't know how far back, but the question becomes, you know, if you think this guy's the best linebacker, do you think he'll come back to you on day two? And is it better to just better be safe than sorry, right? So I have them taking the top linebacker in the class.
Yeah, that always makes it difficult, right, when you don't pick again until later, and so you got to figure out if you're going to have even a shot to get the guy that, like you said, kind of fits what they need. They've needed to replace that.
And this is where people will say, oh, you know, this is a reach. But always keep that in mind. When's their next pick? What assets do they have to try and find a pick before that? You know, how cute do they want to get? Or do they just want to take the guy that they like?
This was a tough one. Now Tampa Bay's on. I think they would trade out in this scenario. I've actually heard that they would like to trade out. The problem is I don't know who wants to trade up into the first round unless a team wants to come up like the Raiders or, and I don't even know if the Raiders have a second round pick. I'm just spitballing. You know, they want to come up and get one of the quarterbacks before a team picks one. And so that makes it a little difficult, right? Because, I mean, New England's already taking a quarterback. Washington's taking a quarterback. I guess you could see like Carolina or maybe the Chargers going up to get a wide receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe if you're Tampa, you take 33 and 65 and then a third next year for 26. But again, would Tampa do that with a team in their own division, right? So there's just a lot of questions. So
I'm also wondering, this could be a spot where I could see Kansas City moving up to get an offensive lineman.
Right.
Because there's been a lot of linemen taken already, but there are still some guys that they might like for tackle. And this might be a spot. If the Bucks are desperate to move back, but don't want to move back too far, Kansas City can move up from 32 here.
Yeah, and so I just had him staying pat because, again, I think I got a nosebleed while I was thinking about all the scenarios. So just like, oh, we'll just stay here. And Chop Robinson, you know, the Todd Bowles, I think he would either go Chop or Byron Murphy, but they just took Kalijah Kancey last year. I feel like they like the idea of grabbing a pass rusher all the time, and you know, Todd Bowles and his defense, they love those athletic guys that can come off the edge. You get Chop in Tampa and see what he can do. And that brings us to
Arizona.
Yeah.
So I had this pick because we were doing, I was the odd numbers, and I gave Seth Ennis Rakestraw, the corner from Mizzou, and he texted me back, ew, and then he changed it. So why don't you tell your Cardinals fan base, your Cardinals brothers, who did you pick when I was overruled?
Yeah, I went back and forth between Kool-Aid and Cooper DeJean, and I went with Cooper DeJean. I don't think either of them are going to be bad players. I think DeJean is more bust-proof, as you kind of talked about earlier, because you can play him at corner, you can play him at safety, you can do a lot of different things with him. You get a little value in kick and punt return, but I think, you know, he's actually played corner and safety. Kool-Aid's only been a corner in a really, you know, and Bama DBs are really funny because they're kind of hit and miss, right? Like, you get some really high-level ones, and you get some guys that look like they don't know what's going on outside of the Bama system. So it's just
I could see why you're not taking Kool-Aid here because, you know, I had some concerns about – he kind of answered the question about his speed. He ran a 4.47 at his pro day, but we did know that he had a foot injury that kept him from working out at the combine. I believe that injury is being addressed now that his pro day is over. So you've got that kind of issue. Just some questions about his change, his fluidity and change of direction, and just kind of a guy who got a really hot start in college and then his production tailed off a bit and would be to the point where he became overshadowed by his teammate this year. 28 is where the Vikings moved back to. And we had a quarterback there, but we had a late change.
Yeah, I was just reading, literally as we got on, Charles Robinson came on and posted. There's a twist in all of this. A very well-connected league source told Yahoo Sports they firmly believe that if the Patriots take May, the Vikings are comfortable standing down in trade talks and using one of their picks, either 11 or 23. Obviously, we may trade back. To select Oregon quarterback Bo Nix.
Interesting. So what you're saying here and what's coming from Charles Robinson is the Vikings aren't even thinking about trading up for McCarthy. It's May.
And that felt like the whole that's what it was going to be all the time. And like I feel like this whole the whole thing with McCarthy was just kind of forced on them, right? Like not by their own choice.
But some of their more vocal fans who are also writers are really in on McCarthy too.
And so yeah, so this is where I made that change literally as we were talking because this just came across the wire right now.
And just for reference, we had Penix there because obviously he would go from one purple team to another one, but. Now we've got this late breaking intel coming through about Bo Nix. What do you think the fit is like there with, you know, with that coaching staff, with that receiving core? It's probably the best possible place any of these quarterbacks could land.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think you're looking at a guy that's going to have, like you said, at least a modicum of success. I don't mean to throw him under the bus, but like a Tua Tagovailoa situation where the numbers are always going to look really good, but the question is always going to become, is he the guy that takes you to the next level, or is he a product of these absurd weapons that Miami's loaded up on for the last couple of years, right?
Yeah, this would be a departure, too, from the kind of age guardrails I was talking about that I think Minnesota will be using as a guideline for their draft picks because Bo Nix is already 24 years old. But I think you might see that when you're talking about here in this scenario, Vikings stand pat. They get a corner, maybe the top corner in the class. Then they move back from 23 to 28 and still get a quarterback that they think is going to be a good fit for their system. So this is, I do believe, it, although the results might not play out this way on Thursday, I do think this is in line with the Vikings front office strategy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. And, you know, we saw yesterday the conversation has come out. They've had productive conversations with the Cardinals. And I don't disagree with that, but you can't tell me that a team's going to want to give up three first-round picks. And maybe it's just me. Maybe I just can't buy this. But give up three first-round picks for J.J. McCarthy, man. Like, that just sounds so ridiculous.
To me, it sounds ridiculous if May is still on the table, too. And it just doesn't seem like... if you're going to move... And see, I just don't even think Minnesota... I think it would be against their instincts to move up that far.
Right.
And give up all those picks. So the Lions, I mentioned that I didn't think there's any way Johnny Newton would make it past... the Lions at 29, but he's gone. And they have to go to plan B. Byron Murphy the second is who I've slotted in here. My question, though, and, you know, for any Lions fans out there that want to tell me I'm wrong, my question is he big enough for what they want? Would they make an exception here? Because Murphy's very small. He's shorter. He's undersized, under 300 at the combine. Obviously a tremendous athlete, great testing for a defensive tackle. But I'm wondering if, you know, Newton's got a few inches on Murphy. Newton was over 300 pounds. Is Murphy going to be big enough for their liking? Because he fits a need, but does he fit everything else that they want? And does he, is he a kneecap chewer? You know, is he going to be a Dan Campbell tough guy? I mean, I don't have any reason to think he wouldn't be a good fit for that organization other than the size. So that's why I put him there. Fits a need, and it's the next best thing after Johnny's off the table.
From there, we go to the Ravens. And again, another one of those things that, like, what do they need? You could go wide receiver here, right? You've got some interesting guys. Xavier Worthy is still available. Ladd McConkey's available. You could go defense. I mean, we've got a couple interesting defensive players still available, Kool-Aid McKinstry being one of them. But with the Ravens, it seems like they're always churning out offensive linemen, right? We talked a little bit about with the Eagles. They protect their assets. They get good offensive linemen and then make plays and then I went with Kingsley Suamaitaia.
And this is to the chagrin of the Chiefs because right. They would love for – apparently they'd love for him to fall to 32. And this is why I raised the question, would Kansas City move up to Tampa spot in this scenario so that they could secure this guy before he falls into an area where some other team, the Ravens or 49ers, might take him?
Yeah, so that's the interesting one, and the question about that is you know, how aggressive will teams be to go get them, right?
Right, because, again, we've had a lot of linemen come off the board, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think there are going to be, you know, 8, 9, or 10 even offensive linemen come off the board in the first round, as well as quite a few receivers, because I think those are your two positions of greatest strength in this class and trying to secure a top guy rather than, you know, these guys are going to come flying off. And then, you know, there is depth at both of these positions in the line group and at receiver. but then you're trading off because you're not getting the top guys. So you're counting on some guys that might have more warts on their draft profile. So I think that's what's going to happen. And with that in mind, we go to 31, San Francisco 49ers. I bought into the hype. We've heard a lot of rumblings about this over the past couple of weeks. They like Roger Rosengarten, the right tackle from Washington. This would be, I mean, it wouldn't stun me anymore because, like I said, we're hearing rumblings about it all the time. But I wouldn't like this pick if I was a 49er fan. But this seems to be their guy. It seems to be a guy who fits what they want.
Yeah, I hope they do that. So that's all I'll say about that.
So that brings us to the final pick. And this is where I got to pick two in a row because I got overturned on pick 27. So the Chiefs, we talked about offensive tackle. They just had two go right in front of them. So do they go with do they take the next guy, or do they look and say, gee, there's still quite a few receivers. Now, we've seen some receivers that we thought might go in the first round. They're still available to us. And one of those guys is Xavier Worthy. I know that's kind of been a trendy pick for mock drafters, and people are seeing Worthy and thinking, oh, that's, you know, look what the Chiefs used to be like when they had Tyreek Hill. And Worthy's not Tyreek Hill. We talked about this after the combine. He's quite a bit smaller in terms of weight, but he can fly. And I just feel like the Chiefs, if all their linemen are off the board here, Patrick Mahomes would certainly like to throw to a guy who runs a 4.2. And yeah, think of how it would open things up compared to last year when they won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I do think it makes a little sense. You know, and then it gives them less pressure on having to re-sign Hollywood Brown if things don't work out, right? You don't have to worry about those type of things at that point. If they play well together, you're able to re-sign Hollywood and have Xavier under control for four more years. So it's a nice balancing act that they can play with that.
And maybe with Hollywood, they think this is redundant. They go with a taller guy like Brian Thomas, who we have falling out of the first round. Or maybe they want to, you know, maybe they're worried about Rashee Rice, his off-the-field situation. So maybe they want a bigger guy. So they go with a Keon Coleman or something like that. I'm not sure. Troy Franklin, I imagine, would be on the table for them as well. If they think they want a taller guy now that they have Hollywood. But like you said, it's just one year. So we have bonus picks.
Yeah, we made sure every team got a pick.
Yeah, because we didn't want to leave fans of the Panthers, Texans, and Browns without any pick to complain about. So we give the people what they want on this show. And sticking with – I picked for the Panthers and the Browns. Seth took the pick for the Texans. So the Panthers, they pick 33rd overall. So they're just right outside the first round, which is just the catbird seat in this scenario because a lot of pretty good players we have dropping out. You know, we didn't mention J.C. Latham from Alabama. He dropped out of our first round. So maybe that's a guy the Chiefs consider at 32. I know Sully would not like that. But I had the Panthers taking Brian Thomas Jr. because we know the Panthers need a receiver. We've heard them connected quite a bit to Xavier Leggett. And if Brian Thomas is off the board at this point, I think Leggett has a good chance of being the pick. But in this situation, the Panthers were all set to take Leggett. And then they said, wait a second, Brian Thomas Jr. fell out of the first round. We're going to take that guy.
Yeah, I like it. I think this is where you're going to see Brian Thomas Jr. go. I've talked about my concerns. A one-year wonder. I get the size, speed, you know, thing, but the lack of production with that size and speed in an offense that produces, you know, absurd numbers is it makes me pause. And so getting him here is a little better than where we've seen him in the top 15, and I'm gonna shudder a little bit.
And I'll push back a little bit on that because I think he did have pretty good production as a true freshman. You know, over 300 yards receiving. It doesn't sound like a lot, but you're talking about as a true freshman where the team already had guys in front of him that have gone into the NFL. So I'm not so concerned about the production. It's just more it was a late break, kind of a late breakout compared to his teammate neighbors. So I understand what you're saying there. We also heard that he has a shoulder issue. Both he and neighbors have some shoulder injury questions. So will that need surgery? I think this, I do think Thomas, of all the top receivers, has the best chance of still being here at 33 for Carolina. And they could have taken McConkey here. They could have taken Franklin or Coleman, any of those guys too. But Thomas, I think because of that 4.3 speed and that height, that makes him a more unique player than some of those other guys I mentioned.
I was up next with the Houston Texans pick at 42, and I hurt Justin's feelings, and I took Ohio State interior defensive lineman Michael Hall Jr.
So, going back to the Ohio State well for the Texans, probably not a bad idea.
Right, it's worked out well for them. You've got a guy that, you know, I was talking about it on the Rise Up See Red podcast with Jess the other night. And, you know, I think he's a guy that is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum from like a Braden Fisk, right? Fisk has pretty solid production going from Western Michigan to Florida State. And then he's, you know, tested really well. Hall obviously tested really well. But he's going to be 25 his rookie season.
Fisk.
Yes, Fisk. Yep. Meanwhile, you have Michael Hall Jr., who...
He is still 20 years old.
Yeah, he won't even be 20.
He turns 21 in June.
Yeah. He's not even going to be able to drink after he gets drafted. So, I like the upside in getting in that system. And I think it makes a lot of sense. So.
You know, Hall was, I think he's one of the top pass rushing interior defensive prospects. You didn't see it, the production at Ohio State this year, but he had a real hot start the year before as a sophomore. And then some injuries caught up to him and kind of brought it down. So the question is, you know, he's another undersized guy, but he's very explosive. He's got some really good pass rush moves, and he's a really good run defender too. He was one of my favorite defensive linemen to watch outside of just the regular live games when I actually watched him in those videos where they show every snap that he played. He's aggressive. And, sometimes the lack of production at Ohio State also comes from a rotation that they use. And they haven't had a lot of big sack numbers since Chase Young left at any position across the board. So I like this pick. I was hoping that he would be there for the Browns pick, but not the 54th overall pick, but actually their third round pick.
That's what I was going to say. I do think he ends up going in round two just because of how – everything you talked about. Like, I would think Mason Smith would go in round two as well.
I think so too. Yeah.
Coming off the knee injury and had such a kind of, you know, I think the difference being that Mason Smith's a 310 pound freak of nature with a bad knee now. Whereas
and he Michael played Hall, carefully this year, I think.
Whereas Michael Hall is, you know, still showed out, did everything, and they're, you know, roughly the same age in terms of and so you know, that just makes him a little more upside. And it's not that I don't think I love Mason Smith. I just, you know, big guys that have knee injuries that come back and look, like you said, tentative,
mm-hmm.
are always worrisome to me.
Yeah, he's got to get that fire back. Not that I think he was playing lazy or anything like that. I think he was just, yeah, like tentative is a good word, because when you have that knee injury, you're conscious of it until...
And we have to remember, too, this was a guy, like Mason Smith, legitimately was earning top 10 pick in this year's draft praise after his freshman year. Like,
he was
an electric player.
He was a huge, huge five-star recruit, like top player in the class on some boards.
And lived up to it.
Yeah.
And then the knee in the first game in his second year, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, we'll see what happens. So
yeah. Well, he's a guy now I'm hoping gets to the Browns in the third round, because I didn't pick a defensive lineman in the second round at 54. This is one that I have heard that they would do a sprint to the podium for this guy. And that's Troy Franklin, the receiver out of Oregon. This is, like, from what I've heard, this is the Browns' ideal scenario, is to have Troy Franklin fall to them. He had almost 900 yards as a true sophomore with 9 touchdowns, almost 1,400 yards this past year with 14 touchdowns. He has 4.4 speed. He weighed in as pro day over 180 pounds for the people that were worried about his weight. He had an illness the week of the combine that pushed the weight down. So he plays fast. I know there are questions about his ability to get off the press, because we see so much at Oregon. He's so fast that defensive backs don't line up across from him. They line up 10 yards back because they don't want him to just run by him. So I think this would be the ideal pick for Cleveland. If he's gone, they might be looking at Keon Coleman. If somebody like Brian Thomas continues to tumble and goes to 54, he might be a consideration here as well. And I'd have to imagine also Xavier Worthy being a possibility if he slid down that far. But in my mind, in my estimation, I think Franklin has the best chance of any of these receivers to be there at 54. And that would make Andrew Berry's day in Cleveland.
Anything else before we get out of here, before the 2024 NFL draft takes place?
Nah, we better run so I can publish this and get it up, and that way people have a chance to listen to it and register their complaints before Thursday night.
Yeah, we thank you guys for listening. We will try to do a post-wrap show sometime next week and give our thoughts on what happened in the 2024 NFL draft. But we appreciate you guys listening and sticking with us as we try to find the time to provide you guys with fun conversation about the NFL draft. Have a great day, everybody.